Welcome back, friends, to Occultist Anonymous and our Mage the Awakening Chronicle Into the West. It's Ash and Helena. Y'all have been enjoying, hopefully, this weird timey-wimey wobbly stuff, which actually I'm realizing this is only in the first week for y'all. For us, we've been recording these for a little bit, though it's Ash's first one. So she has no idea what stuff is coming, and actually y'all don't either, which is really weird doing some of these, because I've done episodes where you... Never mind, it doesn't matter. Special shout out to everybody who likes, comments, subscribes, all that cool stuff. Thank you very much for your support. And a special shout out to our patrons: 1D4Con, James, Adele, Alice, Alexander, Alstred, Bernie, Chris, Doc, Emil, Jeff, George, Catfeathers, Klaus, Meteor V Bunny, Milo V3, Boku, Mozart D Minor, Nick, Other Guy, Perry, Fug, Polkadot, Hubris, Puppeteer, Riafio, Shexar, Starfish, Terran, The Nowhere King, This Is Hype, Thomas, Tom, and Vortex. Thank you all so much for your support. When we last played, which was a minute ago for Ash, y'all had been talking with Archmadrilla, now known as the Architect, or at least that's her shadow name, and realizing that she's inadvertently, she likes saying that, inadvertently, the cause for, or the tool that led to the creation of the God Machine. But the God Machine's not done yet. It might be able to be knocked for a loop or taken down or something. You guys currently have its mind in a jar in the jailhouse, rather appropriate. And there are anchors allowing the God Machine's subtle influence in the related realms, the astral, the shadow, and the underworld, all of which the rest of the coven have kind of an expertise in. So as we pick up, we watch as Isabel takes flight, saying she's headed to Boston because she needs to deal with this Tempest thing. Legba is going to head into the astral, and Solace in Darkness, Theodosia, is headed to the underworld, and Helena is left standing there with Archmage Rilla, who you two don't really even know each other. Yep.
Just everybody else seems to have a lot of beef with her, but I'm just... She's useful, good ally to have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't see what the problem is.
Meanwhile, Gisela is over having a conversation with Catherine, and probably venting, and also with the other Rilla that you guys like. Well, the rest of them like.
Is her shadow name different?
Rilla's?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's not the Architect. Actually, all of the different Rillas have different shadow names. The ones who have awakened, some of them are sleepwalkers. But yes, the Rilla y'all know, I don't actually know what her shadow name is. I never actually wrote that one down. But yes, the Architect is one. And then there's the others hanging out with Gisela, Arachne, and Catherine. Doesn't know her shadow name yet, but she's thinking about it. Off screen, that way Ash doesn't have to play... two characters at once. It would be terrible having to play two characters in the same scene. Mm-hmm. But I think Helena had some plans that you guys had talked about five episodes ago. we don't want to think about how long ago that was. It's taken us a minute to get here, gang. It's
been her plan was to head back to her former consilium in New York and fill them in on all of this, the what the Seers are up to, the risk it poses to the world at large, and see if she can get some people willing to come join the fight.
Absolutely. Fortunately, Helena doesn't have as many attachments in town, no having to say bye to Jules or Catherine or Liaison Fawn. So for Helena, it's basically, hey, kids, no school for a little bit.
I will dual speeches them.
That's true. That's very true.
So, yeah, just kind of like you're handling all of it for a bit.
Bye. Jules gets to be the substitute teacher, but he doesn't get to roll in the TV on a cart. Younger folks, I know that doesn't make any sense to you, but there's those of us who know what TV on a cart means, and it was exquisite back in those days. So I do have a question. How does Helena get to New York City?
I was thinking she probably still has strong enough connections back there, that she could just sort of pull one of those threads. Just use space to sort of, co-locate, step through. And,
you have space for, there's no co-locating. You just are there now.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
Should you wish.
Probably would do the co-location just because it's less effort.
Sure.
Like, it's less of a magical expenditure.
Yeah. And the ability to open the portal to walk through as opposed to just being someplace.
Yeah, it feels good to just sort of step through and now you are here.
Does it feel less like cheating because you actually had to take that step?
Yes.
Meanwhile, Drifter would have been just like, why would I ever want to be there? I will just be there. Why would I walk the 5 feet? I'll bring this. I never understand. Very good.
Yeah, and yeah, the first thing I'm going to do when I get to town is find better clothes. Because, I might be an Archmage, but I don't, I'm looking kind of shabby, and I want to make a decent impression if I'm gonna walk in. So, at this point she's had to, like, make her own things. So it's all very, it's very nice, it's very the proper fashions, but it's made out of, like, cheap calico fabric that you can get at the general store.
Yep.
Yeah. So to get a proper dress.
Yeah. Well, and let's be real, it's, you know, fashion travels west kind of slow.
She's wearing what was fashionable probably 5-6 years ago.
Yep. Yep. Based off what shows up on the train and what you can see about. Because, I mean, yes, there are catalogs, but getting that
how far, recent was that catalog?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a war-torn, worn-out thing that somebody carried along the way. Like that. So I'm anticipating that you probably actually co-locate into a place that's, you know, is a safe place to appear. I'm imagining it's potentially even like an adamantine arrow, like, safe house or something like that. You know, okay. Very good. No popping in and scaring sleepers. You do, however, pop in and scare a few adamantine arrow, you know, sentinels sitting around and get the kind of side eye because you left.
Also, they may or may not recognize her.
Oh, that's true. She
doesn't look like Michael.
That's very true. Yeah, because not only has she had, you know, a year and a half out in the roughs, she's an Archmaster. Do you have a specific place, a safe house that you think the Adamantine Arrow might have used that you're appearing in?
I don't know. My initial thought had been just showing up at, like, Eggrock's house, but I don't know if she would know that. I don't know if they were that friendly.
Oh, gotcha. And she would have been Mysterium, too. So, yeah.
She's definitely the one amongst all of these people that, I think is one of the more reasonable ones.
Mm-hmm.
More likely to hear her out.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'd actually know her well enough to show up at, like, her safe house.
I gotcha. Okay, so I'm realizing, of course, if Helena knows that she wants to go get clothes, where else would she go? But the safe house that is, lent out apartment above a seamstress. And so, yeah, you kind of open this doorway and look in, and there's some, well-to-do ladies having tea. And are not necessarily afraid of the portal opening, but are definitely tense. And you see one dignified lady like slide the hand down into, you know, the dress pocket, and like you can just barely see the little point of a gun, little derringer being pointed at you as you step through, and they kind of give you a once over and, excuse me?
Yeah, Helena would just sort of like nod at them and then walk out the door.
the effective of I belong here, I'm the boss. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that it, you know, you step through, the portal disappears, and just walk through, and you know, I know my way through this, you know, and yep. Give them a little, you know, a little nod or something like that, or not even that, because I'm realizing it's Helena we're talking about, not Gisela. Yeah, she's just like, nah, I'm good. Shoot at me, dare you. I like that. Clearly, you know, little rough Western attire, and breeze on through down the steps and, you know, into a seamstress who, like you said, probably doesn't recognize you, but has this look of like, I know you from somewhere.
Yeah. Trying to place you.
Yeah. I imagine you have no problem making purchases of an appropriate dress. Helena doesn't have unusual fit. So, you know, a little, you know, what, couple hours maybe of tailoring and fitting something off the rack, because I imagine she's not doing anything like custom. And
we don't have time for that.
Yeah. And emerging onto the New York streets. And man, this is the part where it'd be like, it would be really cool to me just change Helena into a different dress. A new woman. A little bit kind of the old Helena, I feel like, kind of in terms of attire. And into,
but she does still, she's like a bit more solidly built now. She's got the white peppering throughout her hair. She carries herself very differently.
Yeah. We discussed this, and I realized the term we were probably looking for was Amazonian.
Yes.
Yeah. Not necessarily like super buff, but just like, I could take you. And she's always had that attitude, but now there's this figure that fits it. And stepping into the streets of New York, and you know, the hustle and bustle, and especially going from Purgatory Bluff to here in, you know, matter of hours, well, instantly, but now a matter of hours, and it's just so much busier. And you know, things have changed a little bit, and other things haven't at all. And we head to the New York Consilium, or are we headed to like Adamantine Arrows or Egrok?
If I know where Egrok is, I would go to her first, just because she is the one who spent time in Purgatory Bluff and sort of let me know about it. And she seems more likely to listen to me than a lot of the people here.
Yeah. I mean, she was interested enough to travel all the way out. Now, admittedly, your magic and, you know, the travel's a little bit easier, but was still able to do that and spent years.
Stayed there for like 6 years. Yeah.
Yep. Because she left a little bit before Gisela did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I imagine the couple hours there in the seamstress, you have time to actually probably get visited by the Herald, who's like, hey, there's a new mage. Oh, okay, you're here doing Helena. Okay, and like, again, giving you this side eye of like, why do I know you? But of course, not going by Michael, not looking like Michael, probably doesn't even have the same aura. It's just like, this is really familiar and it's going to bother me. But okay, welcome. Behave yourself. Here are the rules. And asking about Egrok Sanctum, which would, you know, properly be, you know, registered. So everybody knows, hey, don't mess with stuff here. This is Egrok's territory. And so you can, you know, make your way there. And actually... I can pull her notes up because Egrok is actually in here. I thought she was. Did I not? Man, for an NPC, I was going to use a whole bunch and we never really did. How is she not in here? Well... man. Well, we'll just carry on. I'm going to see if I can spot her name in here. Oh, dang it. That's too funny. Because it was like her and her husband. But I can't remember who they were. Can't find them. But yeah.
I don't remember his name at all. Did we get his name?
We did, because I wrote down both of them because I was very pleased that I put down both of them. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. I have one more page of characters.
Are you having to flip through each page individually and just look for it?
Yeah, just in case. Whatever. This is embarrassing. I'm sorry, folks. On episode, because I don't have them numbered yet, and I have forgotten and don't have the notes for Egrok, who was a early character. Who knew? But yes, she and her husband, the Sleepwalker. You approach their sanctum, which. She's a Moros. It is absolutely adjacent to one of the couple graveyards that New York City has. And actually, how does Helena feel about like Moros and like the Death Arcana? You know, previously, you know, Inferior Arcana. Now you don't have Inferior Arcana anymore, and you even have a Dot of Death.
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, even when it was her Inferior Arcana, it was. Not like something that bothered her or anything. It was more just apart from her notice. This was someone else's problem.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So now it's more, she's willing to look at it.
I gotcha.
So yeah, she's not like bothered by death. She's done enough killing. And had to come to terms with her own mortality enough times that, like, that's not scary. It just is.
Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah, when you approach the sanctum itself is actually pretty easy to spot. You've got various prime wards and things and signs saying, hey, private property, stay out. You were let in by a zombie. Absolutely cleaned up, looks good, but there's nothing behind those eyes. But it is a zombie in a suit. And just like, there's not a lot of manners to it. It's just very door opens, door shuts, stands, you know, but it's very, you know, and you little gesture, and Egrok calls from, you know, another room, in here, dear, you know, come, you know, and zombie servants everywhere, well kept, nobody smells, but just absolutely has no problem using dead bodies.
Tools, essentially. They have jobs.
Yep, exactly. And Egrok is sitting at a large, I'd desk meets potential fire hazard, with parchments, papers, books, and lab equipment all right next to each other. As she looks up, she smiles and nods, and because there were you've met together, you've talked before, and she is a kind of notable member of the Mysterium, and there's some good interagency work with the Adamantine Arrow because that's kind of their gig. And she does that same thing. She's looking and she's like, I know you. Helena.
Max.
Max. Shakes her head, not recognizing it, but come in. And like, there's no place to sit. Like, there's no place to lean. It is absolutely a step short of mad scientist just because of the preponderance. Ooh, good word, preponderance of paperwork, notes here, notes there. Just like looking around, you can see like sentences that are written and then just stop midway. Like, Eggrock is ADHD personified.
There is a method here.
Don't touch it. Don't move it.
I'm not going to touch anything. Yeah.
Yep. You can see like there's the little bit of embarrassment of like, what can I do for you? And she is like covered in ink and ichor. She's I'm so glad I get to play this character because we never did. What can I do for you?
Quite a lot has obviously changed since my departure.
Okay. And like you say that, now she's like, okay, gears start turning. Okay. And it, like, she almost says Michael, but then stops. Max. Okay. Okay. And like, she's not feeling like she's crazy.
Yep. Can they tell I'm an Archmage by looking at me?
No. Even if they cast a spell, like, there's a death spell that lets you tell if somebody is awakened, it would just register that she's awakened. The level that you've got to, it is a step above, but it doesn't so dramatically change things. You would have to tell them, or they would have to do something where it's like, oh, here's a powerful spell. There's no way she's going to win the clash, and you clash without like a blink. And then they're like, oh, maybe there's something more. So it is one of those things. It is part of the reason the Diamond Order are so very anti-Archmage, because they can blend in. So as soon as you realize they're an Archmage, it's like, we're not doing business with you because we don't know entirely what you're doing.
Okay. I'm trying to think. I do want to reveal that, because that's also kind of one of my bargaining chips, essentially, of just like, y'all kicked me out and I got better.
Yeah. Well, and so I say they don't do business with, they aren't allowed to be members of the Consilium, but they can continue to do business and interact. They're not like anathema or anything like that. Actually, you being an Archmage is way less of a big deal than you having left the Adamantine Arrow, and becoming an apostate. And having left. Yeah.
I'm going to kind of just find a good place to stand. and just sort of politely start filling her in on what's been going on out in Purgatory Bluff. All the other mages, what they've been up to. Essentially how much that haven has grown,
mm-hmm.
and what it's really become, because she only saw it like as it was getting started.
Yep.
And just, here's what you wrote and told us it was like, and here's what it's actually like now.
Yep.
And in the course of liberating people, we uncovered some very troubling things that the Seers have been working on. It's very big and very dangerous.
And her expression goes from like, yeah, Seers, they are bad. They are
up to, they do bad things.
And right, like, yeah. But then that tone, and now kind of having placed who you are, it's like, hold up. Like, Michael would have won in and whooped some ass. This is a step above. I mean, she like nods and...
the others, the other mages from there, the coven, have gone to do their own business, to do what they can to thwart, these plans in the various realms. I am here to fill you all in and see if anyone here wants to help, because what they're doing is a threat to all of humanity, more so than usual. And I guess see if she has like a blank paper and a pen where I can start trying to like write out, sketch out just the rough what we know about the God Machine.
Okay. And like, as you're talking and explaining, and the fact that like, oh yes, the other mages have gone off to other realms, and it's like, okay, this is, you know, continually expanding Matryoshka doll of problems. Yep. And like, there, it reaches this limit, and she goes, okay, I think we need to sit and talk, and like starts walking away, and a legitimate ghost walks through a wall and hands her or picks up and hands her a towel and washes her hands while she's looking and talking with you. And she goes, are you comfortable with all of this, or should we find a more mundane seating area?
This is fine if we can just have a place to sit.
Yes. And leads you out from this tornado, the remains of a tornado. What am I looking for? Disaster zone. And into another, well, actually basically a library. It's very much a working library, books everywhere, but there's one large seat, and then she pulls over a table and motions to the seat for you and sits on the table and you know, finds papers and hands you stuff, and then, you know, pulls out a little notepad for her own and starts having a little back and forth conversation to, you know, get the rundown of what it is. And like, you know, midway through she stops writing and is just asking questions and is like getting, you know, is there anything that you hold back or hedge on or are vague about?
I'm trying to think, and I mean, when it comes to like what we've learned about the God Machine, mm-hmm. I don't think so. Okay. I'll just be open about that, about how we found Jeremiah, found the missing part of his time, what we found at the plantation, the gears,
yeah,
and the actual bit of the machine we found, and that was in London, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or rather, the portal to it you found in London. Yep.
Oh yeah. And I'm going to tell her what I did there, which is an imperial spell.
Yep. I think that's about the part where she stops writing things down and like kind of turns, and she gives you this look, and the eyes narrow. And, you know, that very, that's not possible, except unless, Right. And so she kind of like, you watch as she goes from like maternal and motherly to schoolgirl. And she's like, hold up, there's a different dynamic here. So you're looking for agents?
Yes. Looking to both inform you all, just so that you know what's coming, what they're up to. If we fail and this thing becomes active, is completed, you should all be prepared. But if any of you want to help us increase our chance of success,
that'd be nice. Yeah. She nods and kind of like gets this kind of far off look and I'm a researcher. I'm not an arrow. And I don't mind going places and facing danger, but what you're talking about is, I mean, that's cloak and dagger kind of things. That's outright, it's outright war. I'm probably not the best person for that. And you can see, I'm sorry, I'm realizing I'm doing this stuff where she's like, you know, kind of holding on to herself a little bit. And definitely has like, she's got the heebie-jeebies, you know, the world might end, you know.
Yeah, I'm just like, you're right, it is war.
Yeah. This feels like the kind of thing you want to bring to the whole Consilium. I know the Arrow are probably not your biggest supporters, but I don't think they're your biggest supporters, ma'am. But I feel like something of this nature should be addressed to, well, I mean, the hierarch and counselors at the very least, if not the whole chamber.
Can you call a meeting? I don't think I can.
I mean, I think you could, but I do know what you mean. I can speak with my, the word fell out of my head. I don't know how many times I talked about the leader of the Mysterium and the Rookery, and now...
Hierarch? No. That's the leader of the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, the Hierarch. The Mysterium... Oh, no, you're right, the Hierophant.
Hierophant, yeah.
Yes, and the Curator. That's who I was looking for. Yeah, I could speak with our curator, and see how we can get things started. I have a little bit of pull, and I'm imagining that you came to me and didn't, you know, shout at everybody from the rooftops, because you're trying to keep this at least a little bit under wraps, so the Seers don't know that you know, or?
Well, at this point, I think they know that we know. we've had some direct dealings with some of the lower ranking ones. They've come into our town. We retaliated. I am probably on their radar. I don't know if they know that I'm in town yet. But yeah, just in general, if we could get as many, really just as many of the mages in the city as possible. I want to inform the associated leaders, the hierarch, and the council. But also, I would like for the others to hear me.
Well, I mean, you know how that can go. But yes, I will spread word and I'll speak with my cabal and see what finagling, what prodding we can do. But I don't want to make any promises that I can't keep. And she kind of like, you know, fades off and has this far away look and then comes back and you can see her kind of glancing off to the side. She's like, if it's bodies you need though, I can provide quite a few of those. And like, she looks embarrassed
at how many bodies she's got. They could be useful. At this point, I am trying to build an army. Small strike teams are good for stealth, but ultimately numbers might be useful. So,
okay. I've a collection. And like, you like talking with her, you can see like she's talking about it with the like embarrassed pride of somebody talking about like their doll collection, right? Like, I have a lot. Probably don't want to look at that room because it's probably a little creepy. You open the door and they're all just staring at you. Yeah.
Some really rare and powerful ones, you know.
And suddenly it's Pokemon. Yeah. But yeah, she, yeah, if you do need numbers, if you, they're just bodies. You know, they don't feel anything. They don't have any consciousness. And I have familiars, you know, kind of gesturing back towards the ghost who'd walk through a wall and stuff. But I wouldn't risk them. But yeah, I kind of counting in her head. She's like 250 that I could offer to.
Yeah, I will keep that in mind. The structure that our assault will take hasn't been decided yet. That's largely up to the information that the others are gathering. But good to know.
And you can tell it's very much, she's trying to be like, I'm useful. I promise. I'm not good in a fight, but I do have this. Yep. that shift of like, oh wait, this is an archmage sitting in my room. Yeah. And she's just like, I don't know what to do with myself. What do I do with my hands? Kind of nervous energy. She takes the notes that you've written down of, you know, the threat, the various vague understanding of what the anchors are and that they exist, and you know, holds it up. She's like, I'm gonna run out and take this to my curator and we'll see if we can at least we'll spread knowledge of it, even if the hierarch and counselors don't want to bring this in front of everybody. If this is happening, then we should know. And like, the it that little bit of Mysterium click, and she's like, yeah, spread knowledge, share it. Yep. She's like, this is a thing I can do. So she nods. And then like there's this little pause where she's kind of like looking and kind of waiting on you.
I'll get up and I guess go to leave.
Sure. She like quickly like gets up and like leads you up to the door. Like there's this shift. It's not necessarily like overtly subservient. It's very much like meeting a celebrity kind of vibes, right? short of like curtsying. And so she walks with you to the door. And like in the walk and stuff, like you can see her like kind of ramping herself up and like, yeah, I can do this. This is helpful. This is useful. Gets to the door and asks, are you meeting with anybody else? Are you staying anywhere?
I got to the city 2 hours ago. I am going to head to, and I'll give a hotel. I don't sure. know off the top of my head
anymore. Sure. Yeah.
But just what inn you can find me at.
Okay.
Head over there and get a room.
Very good. I will let you know as soon as I know more, and if things start moving, I will send people to you there. Send people to you there.
Thank you.
Sorry, Drew had the complete shutdown as the English language failed him.
Is that the right order? It's like, yeah.
It works. The doorman zombie shuts the door, and you absolutely see Egrok like peek out the window as you leave, like, this really happened. Just expecting you to just poof into confetti or something. Very good. Before heading to said hotel, do you stop in, check in with anybody else, or do anything else?
No, I don't think so, because I am, I know you mentioned the being on the Seer's radar. I want to try to lay low.
Sure.
So I guess keep an eye out, keep vigilant, and just try to not telegraph that I'm in the city.
Yeah. Yeah, which makes sense because mages can travel pretty easily. Keeping track of one, if you don't have some spell to track them, if you don't have sympathetic magic that says they're that way. Yeah, the easiest way is just not be seen. Very good. Head over to ye olde colonial, well, post-colonial hotel. Get a comfortable little, you know, private room. Not bunked in with the masses, as a well-to-do lady should. And if you don't have anything for today, November 1st, 1857, we will proceed into tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Just kind of taking the rest of my day doing meditating, sort of legacy oblations, just sort of centering myself, and I feel like probably writing out what she's gonna say. If they let her speak at the Consilium, to have good notes written down. That's not really her strong suit.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. She's talk in front of people. I can give like orders, but convince me. Actually, even because was she like a team leader? I can't remember how far.
No, she was basically
the Talon.
Yeah, she was like a strike force. She is not leading. She is the weapon you point
Gotcha. Yeah. So not even like I just stabbed people. This whole like leader organizing. Oh, this is not me. I like that. Like Arcmaster. How do I talk to these people?
Yep.
I love that.
Just like right. They might not let me talk. But if they do, I need to sound good. So yeah, just taking time to get her thoughts down.
Okay. Good stuff. Cool. So then, yeah, we can jump forward to the next day. Kind of your, you know, normal morning, breakfast, probably brought up to your room. You know, probably at what point do you think Helena starts to get nervous or like goes looking for more stuff, or is she just like, I'm going to hang out at the hotel because that's where people know where to find me?
I feel like, yeah, she'd probably try to stay there and wait because, I mean, that's where you told them to go. So if they're looking for you, they'll know to go there. But I do at the same time want to get eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think of like if it's possible with the Assorted Arcana I got. Can I do like eyes outside of my room type thing to look out in amongst the city?
I mean, you have space, so you have the quintessential scry spell.
Oh yeah,
right,
that's true. So yeah, I want to stay here, but I want to, in my mind, I'm literally seeing like they had them in, well, the orbs.
Mm-hmm. I have Kilrog.
Yeah, to go out looking.
Sure.
That's what I'm seeing in my head. But I mean, invisible, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, having learned from Legba, the king of space, inward outward eye, I can now see, you know, literally outside my my room. Can't be ambushed. For me, I expect Helena, as soon as she learned of this spell, has had it active all the time, because why wouldn't she?
It's such a good just vigilance spell, which is her whole deal.
And then just casting scrying spells, and just you could also do this in WoW where you cast, oh man, what was the vision? Was it mind vision? Oh, I can't remember what it was called, but it literally, oh, I want to see from their perspective. And then you could cast, while casting that, you could cast it again. You could jump through dungeons that way. Amanda used to do that all the time, just to explore dungeons. But yeah, using the same idea, scrying without even necessarily using sympathetic range, just from, okay, because I can see there, I'm going to cast further. And you never have to worry about, you know, sleepers seeing, because they can't see the invisible window. Yep. All right, I like that. Are you looking for a specific thing? Because rather than roll a space spell a bunch of times, because you can totally cast it, it's not a question. It's more of a an attributes roll. And what, like, is there something you're looking for, or is it just more of a vigilance kind of thing?
I think it's probably more just vigilance. Like, I want to see. Also, just, I want to know what the seers are up to here. See if I can see them. Any evidence of the serpents.
Mm-hmm.
See if I can see any of their machinations out and about around me here.
I gotcha. Yeah, let's just do a wits plus composure. Just the classic perception. Because you are effectively relying on your vision to spot things. But considering you were looking for serpent machinations, kind of probably do this at a minus three. Okay. I imagine you're probably using your mage side as well. So yeah, do that at a minus three.
I will spend the willpower and just make it flat.
Yep. Hey, not bad at all. Two successes. New York City in the modern day is obviously very, very large. Even back then, it was a very densely packed place. And there's a lot to see. There's a lot of city to cover. And in my head, especially because Helena has, you know, inward, outward eye, she can't be surprised. She just kind of, you know, has the little sitting room that she's, you know, in the hotel and just zooming around New York, you know, for all outward external perspective. She's just casually, you know, sat back and enjoying a, you know, nice little nap in the window, you know, the breeze, as she just zooms around all of New York. Also, y'all have no idea how hard it is to not try and make references to the rookery. I was thinking of which ones I could get away with.
I mean, at this point, like, the north part of Long Island is still the country, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I guess it's true. We're not necessarily in Manhattan. Though I imagine
She probably is, because that's where I imagine they would be set up. That's where the church I wanted to stop by is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So like that's where a lot of the city has been built up from colonial times.
Yes. Trinity Church, Wall Street at the Wall. I tried to not make National Treasure references. I really did. But yeah, you search through up and down Manhattan, and there's definitely signs of Sears doing stuff. You can definitely see effectively a Cold War between the Diamond Order and the Sears, with various markings, very similar to Egg Rocks, of like, hey, so-and-so's territory, stay out. So-and-so's territory. And it is a patchwork quilt of who's claimed what. So you don't necessarily have like, oh, all the Diamond Order are on this side and the Sears are over here. There's like buildings and blocks, and they are definitely like interspersed. So like it's very, very clear that the Diamond Order and the Sears are sharing a lot of this space, and they're really like elbow to elbow. So Eggrock's concern of the Sears are up to something is like, oh, okay. Cause for them, I mean, it's mages, attacks could come from any direction, but when literally sanctums are adjacent to one another or territories, it's just like, oh, this place is probably gnarlier than Helena remembers, either because
they're not gonna want to go to open war.
No, it looks like if anything is going to be done, it's definitely going to be subtle, or it's going to be we're doing this far away from New York, which is fine because the other realms stuff out in Purgatory Bluff, you know, but it's going to have to be very much on the sly. And yeah, you can see no real signs of like serpents. And admittedly, from what you've learned from talking with other seers or seeing seers talk, interrogated, the serpents for a lot of them are a myth.
They're like boogeymen.
Yep. They're a thing that doesn't exist because seers backstab each other. So now you're telling me that there's a bunch of these high level, you know, folks from different ministries and they're all working together as if none of them are going to trust each other well enough for that. You are very confident that none of this is overtly seer serpent territory. None of them have their, you know, malevolent castle secretly set up here. Not under a name that matches any of the ones that you've picked up of the various ganders and such like that. Where'd they go? Hatterganders, you know, place, or because, yeah, who all do we have? Giptagander, Hatterganders, Melgander, Megangander, and Trigander, though you guys have met Megangander and Trigander.
Which one is Megan?
That's Sir Lucan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then we know Trigander is the one out of London.
Correct. You have three that are floating out there that you haven't seen. And then, of course, you know about Sandgander, who is one of the Abrimos that they ousted and then just kind of removed everything about themselves from them. Very, very, you know, spooky secret agent stuff. You're not surprised, of course, that, oh yeah, they don't have a giant banner here, but yeah, nothing stands out. New York is a big place.
I'm waiting patiently.
Right. Patiently.
Just, you know, yeah. I am physically exactly where I told you I would be.
My attention is a couple different places. Yep. And you're an archmage. You can do this in your sleep. It is a few hours that you're at this. It is a couple hours after noon. We'll say just two, just for ease. When there is a, I guess it would probably be a bellhop. Or a little messenger arrives with a note for you, a little sealed envelope, and it's just a address and a time later that evening, like 7, you recognize it as one of the various places that the Consilium does meet. You also know it's one of the smaller locations they would meet at, like a theater or something like that. I guess the theater is kind of large, but yeah, a smaller theater, not, something for, well, I guess there's not that many mages, I get. Anyways, yes.
I figure if you're going for a small one, it might be like the back room at a particular pub or something.
I guess that's true. Yeah, yeah. That would probably be more appropriate. I feel like we always end up doing everything in bars and pubs, but duh.
That's where people meet.
It's a TTRPG. You meet in the tavern. It's required. But 7 p.m. And no other notes other than a little weird squiggle on the paper that you recognize as a bit of high speech. And it's just, it's the Gandalf G, but it's Eggrock. It's like, okay, cool. So you've got a couple hours to kill if there's anything that you might want to do and you know where you need to be later.
I think I'm going to swing by, St. Paul's Chapel?
Sure. Over there in Trinity Church. Wonderful, as Ash and I were discussing earlier, very colonial era, church.
A lot of white, a lot of columns.
Yep. Yep. Exterior is graystone. Asking as if I don't already know. But Ash, what are you gonna do there?
I am planning on building an army. Literally. So I need supplies.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm going to swing through. And honestly, I don't even have to go in because there's this really fantastic carved statue of St. Paul out front holding a big sword.
And folks, by big sword, we mean like a proper two-hander.
Yes. Also, the statue weighs 500 pounds and is 7'10". It's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to kind of... We'll go inside and just offer up a prayer. And when leaving, just sort of stop and really imprint that. The vision of St. Paul with the large two-headed sword so I can use to make holy warriors.
Absolutely. Nothing bad ever happened. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing bad will ever happen from giving some zealots the mandate of heaven. and magic powers.
And magic powers. They do have some downsides to them, but yeah. In my mind.
This is great. This is exactly what Helena needs.
Yes. I love it. It's mage. It's all about that. It's all about that hubris. Yeah, I like the idea of, you know, going in, doing some oblations, because that's part of your legacy anyways, is some of the religious ritual. And then coming out and looking up and seeing St. Paul, because St. Paul is not carrying that sword to use it himself. He's holding it, but the handle is there. And I just, in my head, I'm imagining her, you know, she's not physically going up and grabbing it, but pulling in the quintessence and taking the sword and
handing it to me.
Yeah. And pulling it into your golden road and that quintessence that, you know, the symbol of a sword, a holy sword, you know, given by God. It is obrimos to the brim. And yeah, now just who to give that sword to. Well, we'll get to that later. It being November the 2nd, which I actually don't remember what day of the week that is, but that's fine.
I thought about looking it up to see like if they're actually having services. but I don't know if at that point chapels ever really close, right?
Right. No, it would be open. There would be some, you know, parish priests or something like that.
The rectors and such that always there to help out.
Yeah. Go in, you know, light a candle, say a prayer. Although light a candle is more of a Catholic thing than I think of it. Yeah. And then say some prayers and then go to the pub with your nice new dress. Very good. A couple block walk down to the aforementioned pub. And it is very much the... especially day and age. This is the local pub, right? You walk in and immediately everybody is turned to look over because they don't recognize you. But it's not unwelcome. It is, you know, demographically masculine. So, of course, her walking in, there's eyes. Helen is just like, nah, I'm good. And just walking to the back room. And her knowing her way, you walk through the back room and then through the hidden secret door into a room that I imagine she has been to as a an observer, where, you know, high ranking folks get together and discuss things, and, you know, the adamantine era are like, we're gonna go bust up this place, is everybody okay with it? And Helena's just there like, let me at him.
Yep. Tell me where to go.
Yep. This time it's a little different. She's gonna have to chat with some folks, and it's a better turnout than Helena probably was worried it might be.
I was fully expecting like three people.
Yeah,
like the hierarch and the central council.
Yeah.
In your inner council.
Yeah. No, in this case, you actually have the Hierarch, the counselors, the majority of the Sentinels, the Herald, who you'd seen earlier, and is giving you this look of, you could have given me some warning, like, now I look like a douchebag. Eggrock, and a couple of the various caucus members, one of the curators from the Mysterium, probably Eggrock's, some of the other like leadership of the other caucuses, Thunderbolt, what are they called? Thunderbolt Guardian. Thunderbolt Guardian.
Yeah, the Arrow bosses.
Yeah, because there's Adamantine Sage, who's the top dog for like an Arrow caucus. This is one step down to the instructors and veteran kind of folks. He kind of stands out. He's a young guy. He's got very dark skin and these very intricate face tattoos. I think Helena probably would vibe with this guy. Like, he's very kind of aggressive.
Similar energy.
Yeah. And like, there's an eye up of like, where he's like, I think I could take her. Right. And then like, it's the back and forth, and like, we both think we could take each other. And so there's a little nod of like, yeah. Respect. Yeah. And he kind of then like relaxes a little bit. He's like, I recognize that you are a threat. You recognize that I'm a threat. We're cool. Probably all told 15 folks. So the room is, you know, able to handle this, but it's definitely like, you know, a couple more folks and we're going to be sitting on each other's laps. So it's a densely packed room. And all it has is chairs. And it's, you know, very much a like everybody comes in, sits, you bring in your mug, you bring in, you know, your pipe or whatever, and just it's there. And it's, you know, the rumor is this is one of the rooms where insurrection was planned, pre 1776. How realistic is that? Who knows? But it's a good story. Eggrock smiles and, you know, sees, and like she's very pleased that like this many people turned out. You can see there's a couple different copies of your notes that have been passed around. But otherwise, everybody has this mask of make no emotion, no response, just very like give nothing away. Business meeting, you know, poker face. That's the word I'm looking for. As you walk in, and the Hierarch is a older woman that you recognize. She's the Hierarch from before. It's not been that long. It's not like she would have been deposed, yeah. But she is kind of the one who probably was okay with your mentor being executed, right? It wasn't.
Yep.
Yeah.
Killed him.
Yep.
Kind of hinted that I either needed to fall in line and stop asking questions, or I might also.
Yep. Yep. That said,
we have enough evidence to also charge you, but we don't think you were actually involved.
Yeah.
But we could. So. Yep.
That said, yes, the Interfector, who probably would have done the deed, is not here. Okay. Now, that said, he probably wouldn't be in a meeting like this anyways. But yeah, the Hierarch, like, locks eyes with you and, like, there is no squint of recognition. Like, this is she recognizes you, and Eggrock probably kind of, you know, let that, explained that. But as you step in, and there's the look around and the eyes, and then Eggrock gets up and like pulls a chair kind of more or less in the middle of the room, which probably for Helena kind of the back, like, oh, people are sitting behind me, you know, yeah. I don't like this, but you have inward outward eye, you know, but it's definitely like they're not really seeing to your comfort so much as you are on display. The hierarch clears her throat and says, hello, Max. Eggrock says that you have dire news.
Yes.
And she holds up the papers that are in Eggrock's handwriting. And from what we've seen here, this is a dramatic thing, but you'll have to forgive the... Oh my gosh. We don't believe you. English language and me are not great. But yes, disbelief that we have, considering the scope of the threat. And she kind of nods at Eggrock. Your suggestion of accelerated power. Elevated power. So we, and kind of looks around, and like the counselors are nodding in agreement. You understand that we need to be careful that the Consilium is not manipulated by an Arcmaster.
Of course. I'm not seeking to manipulate anyone. Merely to inform you of a very dire threat that we have discovered. Inform you of what my coven is doing about it. And seek assistance if you choose to provide it. This is very risky. But if we fail, that's even worse. The consequences are terrible either way. And we are trying to be to come out on top.
Sure.
Open war with the Seers is, of course, not what anyone wants. But covert operations, such as what we have already accomplished. That's our ideal modus operandi. If we can continue that, that's great. And again, if any assistance any of you all might choose to provide of your own free will would be greatly appreciated. But I do understand, just from the layout of the city, the structure of everything here, why you might be hesitant.
She nods.
But at the very least, I thought you all should have advanced warning of what is being done, both by the Seers and by us.
Gotcha. And she nods. I'm going to retcon in here that we even go so far as to be like words of truth, right? Like, I'm going to speak things, and you know, that way everything that comes out of my mouth is you know, real. So they kind of sit and nod, and the hierarch like was hoping that, you know, maybe there is, you know, this little nugget of untruth in here or something like that. And
no, this is deadly serious.
No.
Yeah.
And so the hierarch leans back. There's some questions, some retelling of stuff that you've already told Eggrock, but now you're speaking it with words of truth. Some little prodding questions that are like, that's not necessarily on topic, but it's like, when you left, were you an Arcmaster and we didn't realize it? No.
No.
No, I got good on my own after I left.
Much to be learned outside the city. Outside the confines of this.
The high tower you all have put yourselves in. Yep. The adamantine arrow, just like, they're not staring daggers at you, but they do not like get involved in the discussion. And like, it's not that you feel hostility necessarily, but there's some enmity where they're like, wait, she left. Like, she could have left the Consilium. She could have continued working with the Arrow in another place. But Helena was like, no, I'm done with all y'all.
All y'all.
Yeah. But yeah, it goes back and forth. You know, probably a good half hour of discussing stuff, restating stuff. It is probably the thing Helena just like probably hated when she was in the Consilium, because this is the bureaucracy. This is the hemming and hawing and talking things to death before somebody finally does something, right?
Yeah, I do feel like she's probably a bit better at that now, because like, just the whole shift from Michael to Max, she's now still just as deadly, but a bit warmer.
I was thinking about that. She went from I smite things to a guardian. Like, she's got more patience now. Yes. I like that. Yeah. and this is... Or we'll see how good Helena actually is. Would you make a persuasion roll? You can use if you have another social skill you would prefer, and presence. I know Helena is no, not
I have
good
one dot. I have one dot in a lot of things.
Hey, then you're not taking the negative to unskilled.
That's why I have one dot in a lot of things.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll do. I'll do expression. I feel like a lot of this is sort of force of personality.
Well, and specifically, this is the motivational speaker side of things, of like, hey, this stuff is happening, you need to get involved.
And I am leaning on the fact that she is now an Archmage. I am up here and still informing you of this and asking for any aid you might lend, because this is a very big problem.
Yep. I dig that. Yeah. So presence plus expression. There's no negative penalty. You are speaking the truth.
Yeah, I don't have any merits of life.
No, I knew walking in Helena was gonna have a hard time with this, but we'll see.
I'm gonna spend the willpower.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, two
okay. Successes. Yeah, two presence, one expression, three yep. Willpower. I'm curious.
I am mentally forcing this to happen.
Yep. Hey, you had one of those successes on your first three dice. Yeah, you would have done it without the willpower. But yeah, there's like you said, the decision by committee, small council, and eventually it gets around to, you know, people getting tired of being stuck in a cramped room and asking the same questions, probably the same thing Helena is feeling. And eventually, one of the counselors looks across the table at, you know, the rest, or well, not the table, but the little ring that they've got of the cluster of them, and said, are we going to make a decision, or are we going to just ask questions? And you can see there's there's a little motivation to them, and they're like they're hearing like, here's a problem, we need to do a solution, and a bunch of people are trying to decide that solution, and they're like, no, are we going to get involved? And eventually the hierarchy is like, yeah, I believe we need to get involved, you know, quick show of hands, you know, knowing that they're kind of voting in front of, you know, these other, you know, the members of the various caucuses who aren't necessarily in the Consilium, but they're involved. And a quick show of hands. Yeah. Okay. We're going to get involved. And then the hierarch makes this kind of, you know, a little bit of a smirk and motions over to the adamantine arrow and says, well, then, since we are in agreement that we should get involved, you can work with the arrow on how best we can apply selective force to damage the machinations of the Seers in subtle ways. As you said, we cannot risk open war. We cannot risk discovery that we are involved for something that is, that does not originate here. And they can make their, the adamantine arrow can make their suggestion back to this council, and we will give it our review and potential approval. A lot of hedging language and stuff like that. Yeah.
Thank you for the consideration. I look forward to working with, sort of directing at him, like, what is his shadow name? Because this is a new guy.
It is a guy Helena has not met.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He's definitely let me see here. Yeah, he's new to the area, basically, from some of those farther colonies. But he goes by the name Red Dread. So as the rest of the counselors and the hierarch make a pretty speedy exit, it very much the okay, we're gonna agree to this thing. None of us feel like we're being subtly manipulated. This is pretty straightforward. We're gonna pass this off to the adamantine arrow, and then we're gonna get out of here. And everybody kind of files out. Eggrock stops by and gives you like a quick little like squeeze on the arm, you know, and a little, we did it, and it's like, no, we've just started the ball rolling. But yeah.
I mean, I'm just glad to just kind of just like a little missile, like, yay, because they listen to me.
Yeah. And especially because like they're not prone to listening to Arcmasters. This is kind of a thing that's affecting them indirectly, which is always hard to get any mage to be like, how is this my problem? Well, in a world where awakenings stop, it's like, well, I'm already awakened.
All of humanity. Don't you care about humanity? And I mean, a lot of them, the answer is no. So
yeah, stuck in their white towers. But yes, folks file out, and you are left with basically just Red Dread. He's 17, 18, like he looks young. Maori tattoos on his face. But he showed up to the meeting. Well, he doesn't have guns, but he has holsters. And like very clearly like would have showed up armed if it would have been proper. And yeah, strong accent, very clearly like still learning English. But fortunately, you both have high speech and, you know, that probably ends up being easier. You have a little, you know, little rundown of like, hey, what are you actually thinking of doing with, you know, a strike team? Where, you know, where would we go? What kind of attacks would we be doing and that kind of stuff? And that's something I don't necessarily need Ash to decide. Because Helena has that tactics. Go ahead.
I was just thinking similar to what we did in London.
Mm-hmm.
Find where the things are anchored here and smash it. Meanwhile, on the other planes, groups there can be doing work there.
Yep. Yeah, there are no anchors on the material side because that would break the Pax Arcana. Okay. So yeah.
So what was the thing we found in London? It was like a factory that had a pass-through. Yes.
Yeah. So basically those are things that are here. So that particular one was technically in a little, I guess it wasn't actually in a pocket dimension. But yeah, it was in a quarantine, I think is the right term, where it's technically here, but it's just kind of shifted out. And yes, those are, yeah. And those are definitely places that you could strike. And those are, yeah, factories are is a good term for it. Places where they are making the gears that go into the God that's machine.
What I wanted to get little strike teams to focus on.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And that will require some investigation and searching. But yeah, those are, yeah, basically the parts manufacturing. And those are, yeah, potentially all over the world. So that'll be a global initiative, but definitely something that you guys can do. And yeah, so you can basically inform him of at least two factories that you guys have found, because you found the one that was a literal factory in London.
Yeah, and the plantation.
And the plantation. So it's like these places where, as far as you guys have discovered, focus in on a particular resonance or emotion, things that would more or less shut down and divert attention away from asking questions and potentially awakening. And any of these things, you know, especially like suffering, could lead to an awakening. But, you know, if you are so beat down that like you're just thinking about existence, you're not going to awaken. You're not going to be looking past that veil. So, and obviously, if you're just toiling away and just making ends meet and getting your daily paycheck, same kind of situation.
Like that's what I was trying to look for in New York, rather than see
gotcha. Yes.
Yeah.
I got you now. And that said, even retconning in that, no, you wouldn't have spotted anything like that. Most of the stuff that you found have been, I guess there was one in London, so of course there could have been one in New York, but yeah, they're,
just a bit more remote, maybe like less.
They're more interspersed. I'm trying to remember. Let's see here if I scribbled down notes for some of the stuff that y'all have found. But in short, there are not many of them. And they are. Oh yeah. I think it was 10 or so folks that you had found that were kind of like brainwashed in the God machine and were working had come from like all over the globe. But it wasn't like, you know, 40 guys from London. It was just like, oh, here's this one, you know, these kind of representatives of these different places. So it's like, yeah, there might be, you know, like 10 or 15 of these across the entire globe. And like, hey, 1857, the globe is pretty, you know, spread out, and magic obviously kind of alleviates some of that, but that's a lot of place to search. So, you know, Red Dread, it's like, okay, so the start is recon for weird other places. So it's like, okay, we're gonna have to figure something out.
Yeah, it's yeah. The machine itself is fully not on this plane. So
yeah, you'll have to find gateways. Okay. And so yeah, he kind of latches on to, okay, recon and searching things out. Okay. So it's asking questions about like the plantation. Was there anything that stood out about the plantation? Nope, we just kind of emancipated some folks and then later heard about stories. The London one was because Tregander thought it'd be a good idea to start shit on your territory, so you went back and started hey, look what we found.
Yeah, that was fully just us trying to cause problems for her, and that happened to be there.
Yep. So you've stumbled into a couple of these, so finding more gonna be, you know, an effort. But on the plus side, you have an Arcmaster on your team, which is actually something I meant to ask. Have you, air quote, name dropped that the rest of the Coven are also Arcmasters? Or have you let that just not come up?
I wouldn't have mentioned that. Because I feel like they're probably cagey enough about dealing with one that I had to tell them this. Like, no, we have five? Because we have Rilla also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I just realized.
Yeah, I know y'all aren't thrilled to deal with one Arcmaster. Let's not let you find out we have five.
Yep. And that they're all working together. Yep. Okay. Very good. I think that might actually be a good point to put a pin in this session. Oh, perfect. As you yawn. Thank you, Ash. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, we leave off with Max and Red Dread kind of putting their heads together about, okay, that's some very small needles in a very large haystack that we have to search through. But we're mages. We can do that if we have, you know, some of the right tools and things to start searching for. So he's nodding and talking about you know, letting loose spirits to, you know, comb through on the material side, because they can move pretty damn fast and then go lots of places.
Yeah, that's great. That's exactly what I needed help with. Yeah. Because again, you're right, it's a lot of world to search.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think the you know, episode, you know, a thing is like, okay, do we have other people who are helping with this search? And we just fade to black there as we jump to another episode that may or may not relate to other mages searching for different things. I still don't know how I'm going to order these episodes, so yeah, we'll see. Yahoo! Yeah, thank you all for joining us. You'll see Ash in like 1 to 4 weeks, depending on if I do these like back to back. I don't know. And folks at YouTube don't know, because this is going to be part of week one, the first release of the first month of these. And so we'll see what order they come out. It's this timey-wimey time arcana stuff that I'm messing with, and that has never had any kind of hubris or any kind of backlash. I'm sure this will work out fine for my sanity as I try to edit these. But thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Ash, for joining me. On the plus side, you will have like a month before you see Ash again, but I'll just see Ash like next week, and we'll keep these going. Special shout out. I already did that. If you do want to support us monetarily, that's Patreon. On Patreon, that's www.staylucky.club. Totally not necessary. None of us rely on any of that cash. Like, donate if you have spare cash. Otherwise, it goes to computer upgrades and art and stuff like that. Really get involved by getting on our Discord, www.eatinto.space. Come hang out, post pics of birds, dogs, tell us about your current TRPG. I think we have like 4 or 5 running stories. Yeah. That are that people are sharing with us. You don't have to be a YouTuber or anything like that. Just come tell us about the funny little thing that you did. It's very good fun. It you get to share. And if you're like me, where like out in the real world, you're surrounded by people who do not TTRPG. And when you look at them, it's like, I want to tell you about this thing that happened in D&D. And they're like, huh? And they glaze over. You don't have that here. You can come and tell us about it and tell us about the ridiculous stuff. And what was Bren posting about was it Dilemma?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or maybe that was Jesse.
I think it's in the same game. But, yeah. Oh, my friends call me D and her name is Dilemma.
Yep. It's good stuff. That was Jesse's. Very good stuff. Come share that. Ask questions if you want to play Mage. You've watched us and you're like, holy crap, that's super complex. It's not. Oh, okay, it is.
There are
but it's
so
not
many
as bad.
People that will answer your question. People who know all these books, many books.
and without being dicks about it, that because we do chase them out. There are a couple bands that I am very proud of and I have screenshots of because they complained about things that were said. And I was like, too bad, so sad, get out. Yes, it is a safe, welcoming place in case you've missed that we're a bit of an exclusive bunch. We want you to be here. It is a safe place. Come hang out. And we don't talk about real world shenanigans and problems. So it's a chill vibe place. I don't know why I'm on this long thing about our Discord, but yeah, you should come by. We'll see you next week. Bye.